Suso, Suso, tira Alessio, Suso, tira. Perché non tiriamo? Ma perché non tiriamo? Gol! Alessio Romagnoli, gol! Alessio
Romagnoli. All right, guys, welcome to this episode's podcast, this episode of Sempre Milan's podcast. As you guys can see, Oliver and AJ are not here. It is AJ's birthday, and Oliver had to do post-game coverage. But to get things started, you had a pretty good weekend celebrating a championship.
Yeah.
Cool win in 30 years.
Yeah, it was a crazy weekend. Some things I don't remember as much, but it was a good time. It was a good time.
I will say that Maxi is a pretty good person, but 90% of the Liverpool fans out there are not. So if you're listening to this podcast, I hope you're one of the 10% that are good. Liverpool was like in riots over the weekend. They were shooting fireworks at the Liverpool building, and someone got stabbed, and they were attacked in an ambulance. It was just insane.
Yeah, and some people were burning a building because it was blue lights, like everything.
Yeah, so that is the owner, Everton's owner owns that building. It's like a famous building in Liverpool that has the Liverbird on top.
Oh, okay.
And he's had it blue since he bought it, obviously because Everton is better than Liverpool. All right, let's get into some Milan stuff. So we were on a pretty good run of games. We beat Roma 2-0 this weekend. I thought we looked great. And while watching the game, in the back of my head, I was like, man, all we needed was a global pandemic. And now we are starting to play good again, maybe playing in an empty stadium. You could see players like Paqueta playing a little bit better. Maybe the fans were just intimidating him or something. I don't really know. But it was nice to see us get a win over Roma. Got some solid goals. I think Çalhanoğlu and Rebic scored, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought we looked good against Roma. We're kind of not weak, but we respected them too much in the beginning, but we grew into it. A bit into the game, I thought we fought well, and it was great that we could reap some rewards for the performance we put in.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie to you. After watching this game against Spal, I don't really remember the Roma game very well. I just remember that we looked promising, and I thought we were gonna come into the Spal game and put on the performance that we put against Lecce, but we both know that did not happen at all. We started out rough. They got an early goal. Sloppy defense on us. Very sloppy. It looked like we couldn't clear the ball. That was kind of like, I think that was Rebic's goal, or that was our second goal against Roma. It looked like, Rebic hit the post twice and then scored.
Yeah.
It just kind of seemed like one of those situations where we could not clear the ball. Old youth Milan player scored. They scored from like 30 yards out, chipped it right over Donnarumma, and we could not get anything in. I honestly thought that this was Paqueta's best game since really last season. Looked confident on the ball. Last 20 minutes or so, not so good, but he had some good shots from distance. I thought Rebic looked kind of lost. He wasn't getting any service in. And that was probably because Paqueta was taking more chances. Castillejo got injured in the first half. Salamaker looked like dog shit most of the game. I'm pretty sure right wing is his natural position, correct?
Yeah. Yes, correct.
Yeah, so you would think that he would have looked a little bit more confident, but we had 17 corners, and he took, I think, most of them, and most of them turned into nothing. All of them turned into nothing, but most of them barely even made it into the box because they were just so low and hitting the spell defense. Liao came in and he looked like he was hustling. He came in against Roma and did not look like he cared to be playing at all. Came in tonight, looked like he was hustling. And I was happy with his performance, as happy as you can be. We'll see what the ratings are here when we release them shortly. But he scored, kind of got the ball to his feet and put it in the back of the net. Then Bonaventura, Laxalt, and Ibra came on. I was hoping Ibra was going to come on sooner, but Pioli was waiting. I don't know what he was waiting for. Maybe he didn't want to re-aggravate his injury, but
yeah.
What are your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, I mean, overall, we're not playing a bad game. We aren't. But the thing is, I think at both goals we concede, we lack concentration. Mm-hmm. In the first goal, as you say, we couldn't clear the ball. And during the second, we leave Flokari with too much space, and so he gets time, and Donnarumma is too far out. But then we're fighting against a parked bus, and we try to create. We create bits, but we cannot finish them off. Mm-hmm. But I think, as you say, if we talk on individual level, I think perhaps seen over the 9 minutes, this is one of Paqueta's best games in a Milan jersey.
Absolutely.
And what I really liked about his performance tonight is, which we saw a bit against Roma as well, that he doesn't take too many touches on the ball, and every pass or touch he does is thought through. So that's a big improvement on his side, and he looked great and at transitioning the midfield to the attacks. He created, and as you say, he had some really good long shots, one that almost scored. But I think also a player who needs to get recognition tonight is Hagan Çalhanoğlu. He was amazing. He fought really well. It was one time when I almost stood up and screamed because he chased back the whole pitch just to grab a tackle to get the ball back. So I thought he was really good tonight as well. And he handled, when Bennacer came out, he handled that lower position quite good as well.
Yeah.
But overall, a very, very frustrating game.
Yeah, I almost didn't get up and scream, but I almost got up and threw my phone at the TV, screaming out of anger. But we have Lazio this weekend. Well, I was looking forward to the game this weekend, but after today, not so much. I was kind of hopeful that we would get a result against Lazio. In my opinion, if we got a result against Lazio, we would also have to get a result against Juve, because in the long run, I want Juve to win the league. I'm sorry, Lazio to win the league, not Juve. But we also need to qualify for a Europa League spot. And so if we drop points in both those games, we can pretty much kiss that goodbye. I don't know how the table looks after tonight's draw, but
yeah, Verona won as well, so added pressure to us.
Yeah, so Juve or Lazio have two players suspended.
Yeah, right? Both Immobile and Caicedo are suspended.
So that's good for us. They also have a few injuries, so hopefully we can get away with a win here.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is it home or away?
That I'm not sure of.
I'm looking at an app right now, and it does not say. But we played it. I feel like we played against them good recently. That's a lie. We lost our last two games against them.
We play away.
We're okay. So no fans. So that'll make it a little bit easier. Yeah. Do you have any predictions?
Before tonight, I was more positive. But yeah, I think, to be honest, we played well against both Roma and Juventus in the Coppa Italia. So we've stood up well against the bigger teams after the restart of Serie A. But I don't know, Lazio are really good. And of course, there are two big blows that both of their forwards are out. But I mean, they still got Joaquin Correa, who can cause a lot of damage.
How do you think they're going to line up? Because I don't follow them closely, but I'm pretty sure they line up with two strikers on the field. And with both of their top strikers out, what do you think they're going to do?
Yeah, I think that maybe they're going to – perhaps they're going to lift Correa up and play sole striker and lift Milinkovic-Savic up a notch as well, or Luis Alberto, sort of playing with one primary striker and one seconda punta. So I think Simone Inzaghi is going to solve the problem, something like that. But it's hard because how often have they not had both of their strikers?
Right.
But if you think about it as well, it's the current capocannoniere who isn't playing for Lazio. So that's really good for us. But as a long-term Milan fan, you know, it's hard to stay positive ahead of games like this.
It's been a long 10 years.
Yeah.
How do you think we line up?
I would like to think that Ibra will play from start. I hope so, because tonight I thought that when we created without Ibra, we didn't have anyone to finish the chances off. We need a striker. Rebic has been good playing as a striker, but, you know, he's not as clinical as Ibra, and he's not as strong of a presence in the box as Ibra. So I would hope that we play Rebic on the wing and Ibra up top. And then, I don't know. I hope that Salamakers doesn't start.
Let's hope Castillejo is fully fit. But maybe, you know, we put Liao out on the wing or put Paqueta out there and put Çalhanoğlu in the middle.
Yeah.
And have Bonaventura start at the start, you know.
Yeah.
But it will be a rough one.
yeah.
I think as long as Ibra starts, we can possibly get a result, because you could tell even this evening when he came on the field, it was just an instant change of mentality with the team, you know?
Yeah, and I think that that's something Milan has to improve to next season, that they have to get more leadership and experience on the pitch, because it was quite evident tonight that we were very immature. When things didn't go our way, we fell into Spal's traps to give them free kicks, so they could waste time. And that was very evident, because they were inexperienced and let their temper get the best of them. Ibra was very important to get on the pitch to quite change the mentality and put more pressure, good pressure on the team.
I agree. We'll see what happens. They play on Saturday, yeah. So I like these weekend games more than midweek because they start at the end of my work day, and you know, the only thing I need is for a distraction is, you know, a Milan game to watch. But some takeover news. Apparently, Arnault and Gordon Singer will be meeting in the London offices to talk about the takeover. Elliott are not moving an inch on their evaluation. They want $1 billion for the team, an obscene amount of money to think about. You know, I couldn't even imagine having that much money. But Arnault is interested because of the media power in the stadium. So, you know, being a fashion icon, Milan's one of the fashion cities of the world. You can only imagine naming rights to the stadium, you know.
Yeah.
Just having his logos everywhere. what do you think? Do you think that it's going to happen? Have you been following along closely?
Yeah, I've been following it quite closely. And, you know, it's so much speculation. So I've come to the conclusion that I won't believe it until it's pretty much closed. A lot of the talk has been that Arnault wants to wait until the new stadium project is a go, the green light. But I mean, if he wants to wait until then, it can take years. We don't know. The city of Milan has a way of postponing things.
Right. There's also another report that he wants to bring Allegri back as manager. So all this Ragnick stuff, and then now in the news, he wants to bring Allegri back. Do you think it's going to deter Ragnick from coming, or do you think that he's going to maybe coach season one and then take over just a technical director role? Because that's kind of what he's doing right now with the entire Red Bull organization.
Well, I love Allegri. He's a great manager, and I would gladly have him back. But as of now, I really want Rangnick because I believe in his project, and I think it's exactly what Milan needs. You know, we've had a lot of different managers over the years, but more or less, they've modified each other's philosophies and squad. What Rangnick will do is he will come in and he will start a revolution, and it's a revolution that Milan needs. And if we look at it from the owner's perspective, he's exactly what they need. He's a manager who signed young players on the brink of breaking through. And he has the ability to help them break through. He's great at developing players. So I really hope we will get Ralf Rangnick because I think it's exactly what Milan needs right now.
I feel like he will help bring a turning point into the club. I think as a backroom staff and technical director and recruiting players, he'll be huge. But for coaching, I mean, he was a great coach when he coached or managed, but maybe eventually stepping aside to bring in a coach like Allegri or someone of that stature, you know, would be a plus. I mean, after seeing what Ancelotti's done with Everton, I have full belief that if he came back to Milan, he'd be able to turn it around. Maybe even absolutely. Him. He's not coming back, but you know,
one can dream.
Fairy tale returns. Yeah.
Yeah, but exactly as you say, and it's kind of Rangnick's MO that he's managed the club the first couple of seasons when taken over, and then he steps back from the coaching duties and take over as solely the sporting director. And I would gladly take that at Milan because if you look at the coaches, he's identified Julian Nagelsmann, Ralf Hasenhüttl. These are not bad managers, and they've not been big names when he's appointed them. So whether it's Allegri or someone else coming in, I have faith in it. But the thing is, if Rangnick comes in, Milan has to do the same thing like Liverpool did with Klopp. It won't change overnight, but with due time, it will get better. And you can see with
Liverpool.
Have
you guys been living by that motto for the past 30 years, or?
No. No, but the thing is, when you get a manager or sporting director of that magnitude, you have to give him time, because
yeah, for sure,
a project like that doesn't happen overnight, and it won't get better right away. But I think with the time, it will.
Absolutely. We're going after the Hungarian kid from Red Bull Salzburg.
I'm letting you want to pronounce his name?
No. Let's look back and tell me how you broke it
Dominic
down.
Dominic Szoboszlai.
Szoboszlai?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to be saying that name too many times. It's on the back of my jersey. But CM reported that we had a deal for him back in January for $20 million. Clearly that did not go through. Do you think that's going to help us close a deal for him now? Or do you think it's all up in the air and free game?
I think it's free game, but at the same time, Rangnick in Milan's corner is quite a pull, I think, because he was the one who recruited him to Salzburg. And I think that he would really like to continue working with Ralf Rangnick. So I think that's a great advantage to Milan. But at the same time, Napoli and Arsenal are interested, and they can offer him European Cups right away. So it's a hard one to judge, but I really hope that we will get him, because I think he can do great things at Milan.
Yeah, I hope that we get him for two reasons. I'm Hungarian, and I would love to have a Hungarian on the team. Two, I think he's a great player. He's a great midfielder. And I think if we can get him for the right price, you know, a lot of times when you chase after the stars in Serie A, the teams will just pump up the price, you know. But Red Bull is just producing these talents and just selling them that.
Yeah.
I mean, they could charge way more, but they don't seem to be. And I think that Rangnick found him in the first place. And if he could continue to move around with that coach and technical director, I would like to think that he would.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens with that one.
Yeah.
On Oliver's thing, he said, Pagani stuff, in quotes, good for Maxi.
Yeah. So, a reporter for La Repubblica wrote an article today explaining how Milan's hierarchy, I don't know how you say it, how the Milan management works. So Oliver wanted me to go through it with you guys, the listeners.
Let's do it.
So it all begins with Massara. It all begins with Moncada and Henrik Almstad, who is reported to be Gazzidi's right hand or deputy, closest man. Moncada identifies potential transfers. He then hands them over to Almstad, who will use algorithms and all kind of data to see, do they fit Milan? If they do, he compiles them and he sends them to the manager, who goes through and see which players fits his philosophy the best. After that, Maldini and Massara takes over. Massara handles all the work with the agents. And to a degree, the negotiations with the clubs as well. If a player is a bit unsure, Milan sends him the big guns in Paolo Maldini to convince them. And that can be seen, for example, with Theo Hernandez. And then ultimately, Maldini usually closes a deal. So that's kind of the process that Milan use right now when they sign players. Of course, this will probably differ if and when Rani comes, because he will handle a lot more then, and we don't know if Maldini will stay or if Massara will stay. But it was a great article explaining how the recruitment works, and Oliver thought it was good to share with the listeners.
Absolutely. I would agree. It will be interesting to see how all that takes place.
Yeah.
Other news, Rebic, Andre Silva swap deal seems imminent. I'm all for it. Yeah. Rebic has been, you know, close to our best player this season. Next to Zlatan, because he's Zlatan and he came back. Came back to us.
Deserves a medal for that.
Right. I'd like to see it. Andre Silva has never produced anything for us. I know AJ is in love with the kid, but I think it's time for him to go. And just move on from the whole Andre Silva debacle, because there's no point in keep on loaning him out and to buy Rebic. We'll see if – I mean, they've both been playing great for the – you know.
Yeah.
Andre Silva's been bagging goals, and so is Rebic. So both of their values have gone up. But for the case of – for the balancing the books, I don't know how that will look.
No idea.
Yep, I'm not into accounting, so.
But I agree with you. We've tried Andre Silva at Milan 2 times, one longer than the other. This season he just got the preseason, but I mean, he didn't look convincing there. So I think it's best to move on, because Rebic fits as well. He adds kind of a dimension that most of the team doesn't have. He has both speed. He's great 1v1. He scores a lot of goals. So I think for both players' sake, it's the best thing to do.
I couldn't agree more. We'll see what happens. I'm kind of excited to see how this transfer window plays out.
Yeah.
Because I think financial fair play will kind of sit on the back burner in the eyes of UEFA, only because with everything that's happening, and maybe even next season too, because I don't see fans going back to the stadium anytime soon, you know. So we have an owner with very deep pockets, and possibly a new owner coming in with very deep pockets, so we're pretty fortunate. I know I've been reading in the news, I think Wigan Athletic are about to go under. They just got docked some points, and I forgot what it's called, but it's not good for the sport, but for people who have rich owners like us,
yeah,
we'll be just fine.
Yeah, and the thing is, which many forget, is that our owners are vulture, and they thrive in conditions like this. During the first quarter, I wrote an article on this on the site if anyone wants to read any further. But they grew their portfolio with 3.9% in the first quarter of 2020, where other clubs...
No one else did that.
No. I mean, Manchester United went from being valued at like 2.6... No. Anyway, their value decreased by $1 billion because they invested 12% of the club on the American Stock Exchange. So I mean, growing their portfolio 3.9% is quite good then. And yeah, if you look at how big their portfolio is, 3.9% is quite a lot of money.
If I grew my portfolio 3.9%, it wouldn't be nearly that much money. But, you know, when you grow, I said it wouldn't.
I know.
It'd be like pocket change to these guys.
Mine as well.
Right? Go ahead.
I was just going to say it's good to remember that our owners thrive in these conditions. So,
right.
And it's a great fund. So we won't be as affected as a lot of other clubs.
Correct. Donnarumma is set for a renewal. 5 years, $7.5 million a year. What do you think?
I think it's great. I think he deserves it because, I mean, he's been our best players pretty much every season since he debuted. he definitely deserves it. And when you look at other players who earn more in the Serie A, it's quite disturbing that Gigio doesn't earn as much already.
Yeah, he's clearly the top goalie in Serie A. He's got the most clean sheets.
In the world.
He's got the most clean sheets in the world?
No. He's one of the best goalkeepers in the world.
Right, but in terms of Serie A, he's clearly top three. In my opinion, he's the best. But
yeah,
obviously, I have a skewed opinion because we're all Milan fans. I think he deserves it. Hopefully tonight does not skew his opinion on whether or not he should renew. Oliver was supposed to post a tweet for questions. I have not seen it yet. So
I think we were going to briefly mention Lorenzo Colombo as well.
Oh, yeah. That wasn't on the list of stuff to discuss, but me and you did discuss that.
Yeah.
Go for it, man.
Yeah, so we signed or we extended Lorenzo Colombo's deal last week. He came on briefly against Juventus in the Coppa Italia. And it's an exciting player who many may not have heard of. So he got injured in December and just missed out on the under-17 World Cup. But since he returned in February, he scored 9 goals in 6 games. And in his debut after coming back from I think it was 4-month rehab, he scored 3 goals in 45 minutes. And yes, you should have in mind that we played in the Primavera 2, but again, it's great result, and he's been praised by many people within the club, and they see obviously a big potential in him because they signed him on a pretty long deal. Mm-hmm. And he's an interesting player. He's very good at positioning, both creating chances for himself with his movement, but also for his teammates. He's a very strong finisher, left-footed, quite big. He has a strong presence in the box. So I think he's one we should look out for. Obviously, we discussed Daniel Maldini, Marco Brescianini, and many more, Luan Capani, but Lorenzo Colombo might be a dark horse, I think.
Yeah. I don't know much about the kid. I just know whatever you tell me. You are the,
Primavera guy.
Sorry, I'm scrolling through Twitter to see if Oliver ended up posting a question tweet. I don't see it, but
God damn it, Oliver.
I want to be sure. We also signed Salamaker permanently. I didn't think it was a good idea. You said he's only been here for 6 months and he hasn't played in his natural position, and tonight he played in his natural position and
he sucked.
But, he sucked.
But I need to make a point here. You see, I didn't think he sucked completely. There were moments where
like when he wasn't touching the ball.
Shut up, Maddie. No, he actually delivered some really good crosses and he played smart passes to get behind the lines and stuff like that. Obviously, it was a really poor game by him. But I think we should have some patience with him, because obviously the club has seen something in him. And yeah, it's a pretty, as I said to you earlier, it's a pretty low risk, high reward kind of player. Mm-hmm. So give him some time. Samu Castillejo didn't impress right away, but this season he's been
one of
our better players. So yeah, I think maybe have some patience with him because he might turn it around.
I was thinking about that. I was thinking that maybe he just had an off game, but he looked pretty horrible.
Yeah.
He definitely has potential to turn it around, and we'll see what happens. I mean, anything can happen.
The thing I've been wondering about is, I read somewhere yesterday that Milan was going to redeem him out of respect for Anderlecht, which has me thinking, did we just buy him because we like hold up our end of the bargain, or did we actually see potential in him? I've seen some potential in him, especially against Roma. But then again, that was just like 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I haven't seen the kid play before he came to Milan. So I can't just judge him of what I've seen here. But there definitely are some positives in the midst of a lot of negatives.
Like what? Besides the Roma game?
I don't know. The thing I like about him is he's quite fast. He doesn't panic as much when he gets pressured. He's quite smart at getting in behind the opposition defense by quick one-twos, or whether it's running to get open for a teammate. So he's not just bad. So I say patience.
For $3.5 million, I think we can have patience.
Yeah.
That's like pocket change. It's kind of crazy how prices have done that, but.
Yeah. You know, as I said, low risk, high reward. But speaking of $3 million, Simon Kjær for $3 million, that's a bargain.
Yes.
Simple as that.
So we do have some questions, and I don't know who they're from, but we have some.
Bring him on.
Does tonight's Gabbia performance totally justify Milan's search for a center back? Would you loan him out?
Yeah, I think I would loan him because, as I said earlier, I think some players show too much immaturity tonight and needs more game time. And Gabbia is one of them. I think maybe lower half Serie A team could be good for him, just to gain some experience.
How old is he? He's real young.
Yeah,
right.
I will look it up. I'm not sure.
I think it depends on how old he is, if it's worth loaning him out or just selling him. I know we just renewed his contract.
He's only 20.
Yeah, so it would definitely be worth loaning him out or even having him as a bench player and playing some Primavera games.
But he's too good to be in a Serie B team, I think.
That's true. But tonight's performance definitely showed that we need more depth at the center back position. Kajar, or however the hell you say his name. Was he injured or was he
I don't know, actually. He went off injured against, was it Lecce or Roma?
Roma.
Yeah. So I haven't followed that quite closely, but I don't know. I hope he will be back soon because he's a really solid defender, and getting him for 3 million euros is a great deal.
Yeah, I would like to see him get redeemed. I know as soon as the pandemic started, I think news came out that we weren't going to redeem either of them. But we've so far redeemed the lesser of the two. So hopefully we redeem the greater of the two. We have made mistakes in the past, but...
But speaking of loaning players, I think that it would might be a good idea to loan Leo Duarte back to Brazil. He's been injured so much in Milan, and he needs to restart in a familiar scenery and maybe just get a great run of games.
He was pretty decent, right? When he played, like, he was showing some promise.
I think so. That's why I think it's important to get him going again. And I've thought about it, and I think the best place to do so is in Brazil.
Mm-hmm. Is Paqueta redeeming himself? Or is he just making the most out of a bad situation? I guess that those both mean the same thing.
I think that he's been through a lot since arriving at Milan. If I'm not mistaken, he had some mental problems or stuff like that. He had a very hard time accustoming himself to the Italian culture and the Serie A. And I think it's just two games, and one was just 20 minutes. But in the last two games, I think he's really showing improvement.
Yep.
And that's great news for Milan because we know that he's a world-class talent if he
is performing.
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully he is doing that now. He seems, you can just judge by social media and stuff like that, but he seems to living his best life now, becoming a father, having found a great place to live in Milano. So I hope that can affect his performances on the pitch.
Do you think he is trying harder so he can get a move away from Milan?
No, honestly, I don't think so. I think if he wanted to move away, he would have pushed harder for it in January because he had a lot of suitors then. And it would be a big risk to take if he waited until this summer. Maybe he didn't perform as much and Milan wouldn't budge on a price tag, say something like that. So I think he's really trying to make improvements and taking a place in the starting lineup. So I'm gonna believe in that. What about you?
I want to think that he wants to stay at AC Milan because I like him and I like the Brazilian center attacking mid style. I like that creative flair, that Yoga Bonita, that whole Ronaldinho type. But I think that he's starting to redeem himself. You got to score goals, you got to get assists, you have to do all that stuff, Today he took a lot of shots, and he had some wicked shots on net, but a lot of them seemed like he probably could have played the pass better. But you can even tell that when he's dribbling the ball, he's dribbling with more confidence.
Yeah,
he is actually definitely completing his dribbles. He's not just dribbling into the opposition. So I think that he's redeeming himself. I think that maybe he's playing better because there's no crowds there. And maybe he was getting intimidated by the Italian fans. Maybe this is a good, like, getting back into it kind of thing.
Integration period.
Yeah, we don't know what his mental illnesses were, but it was like anxiety and depression kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, I think
no
so.
No one can perform under that kind of thing. Like, that is horrible. No. You feel, you know.
And he really struggled with it, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what it was, but I remember reading about it, and he didn't feel well at all at a long period of time.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't make the starting squad for a long time. He didn't even make the bench, you know.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Would you rather have Arnaut, Allegri, big spend, fast success, ideally, or would you rather have Elliott management? This is a new question. Elliott management and Ragnick, and implement a system that will grow into success.
For me, the answer is quite simple. I would prefer Elliott management and Ralf Rangnick, because Rangnick will implement a culture, a vision, and a system at the club. He will completely change the club for the better. Allegri is a great manager. He would definitely make a great impact. But I think when the results, or if the results are turning, and if he would get sacked, we're at square one. Whereas with Rangnick, he can maybe step away to just be the sporting director and let someone else handle the team. So I think the safer alternative is the second one, because it would be more sustainable.
I do agree with you. I would rather implement a system that's going to be here long term, but I have two problems with that. The first one is Gazidis. He is in it to make money. And if you know anything about football teams, football teams are not supposed to make money. They're just,
no.
People think that they're supposed to make money, but 90% of the time football teams are breaking even. Real Madrid is not making money. They are, you know, they owe so much money to the banks. And if I could have Arnaut with Rangnick, I take that, because Arnaut is someone who wants to win.
Yeah.
Elliott is in it as a business. And so it's kind of like a double-edged sword, where do you want to, you know, a slow approach, but then are we going to become a selling team? Like Ragnit's done with his past teams, where he is creating these talents and then selling them off. Or are we going to be, you know, create a powerhouse and bring Milan back to where they're supposed to be and winning Champions Leagues and finishing the top two of Serie A, you know? I would choose Ragnick and Elliott only because for long-term success, it makes more sense. But they're both a gamble. Nothing is for sure. But I want a ownership that wants to win, and that's going to be here long-term.
Yeah, and as you say, I think an ownership that truly wants to win, that's Arnaut. No question about it. Mm-hmm. And one of the people I dislike the most within the world of football is Ivan Gazidis, because I don't know. He's
never won anything.
And he hasn't really shown any progress or improvements at all where he's been. So I'm kind of, I don't know. I think he resonated well with Elliott because he's a businessman. Mm-hmm. He's not your ordinary, like, retired footballer going for a CEO post.
Right.
He's really a businessman. And maybe that's what they wanted if they want to resell at a higher value. They thought, we need a businessman for that. But also, I think that Elliot hasn't shown any, how do you say, they haven't shown any signs of not being ambitious. They have provided great funds for the transfer markets. And I can't remember which one of the singers it is. The younger one. I think it's Gordon.
Paul. I think he's Gordon's the dad.
Okay. But Paul seems quite invested in Milan. He's at many games. And
yeah, he's a big soccer fan.
Yeah,
soccer as in because he's American, but that's what kind of gives me hope, because everyone loves it when your daddy buys you a soccer team, you know.
Can't, you know, relate.
just to toy around with a little bit, but I like the fact that he is invested in it, because it shows that the family does care, you know, and this isn't just a cash grab.
Business or project.
Well,
but you
it
know,
is a project, but, you know, I yeah. get what you mean.
Yeah, and I think it would be naive to think that they aren't in to resell the club. But then again, as of now, I think they're showing ambition in getting progress and improvements.
Absolutely. Okay, then we have Juve next Tuesday.
Yeah.
Score prediction for that.
2-1 loss.
I'll take that.
And I think we're going to lose in a painful way. Like a shit penalty or something like that.
It's like that's happened in the past.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm preparing mentally for it now, just don't so I won't lose my head when it happens. I will anyway, but it's a little better.
Yeah.
What do you say?
I think a 2-1 loss is a very fair scoreline.
Yeah.
Hopefully Castillo's not injured too bad. Hopefully he just misses the Lazio game, if anything. But we'll see this weekend. I think we'll get a win against Lazio and a loss against Juve. And that will probably pretty much secure Juve the win.
I think so, yeah.
You know, but if it gets us closer to Europe, then that's really all that I care about. Actually,
yeah.
Let me check what the standings are right now, because
yes,
the last game this evening.
We care about Milan, where if Juve winning the league means Milan getting a Europa League place, then so be it.
Yeah, we're only we are 2 points out of sixth with a game in hand. So we need to beat Lazio.
Yeah. But
yeah, I think that's all we have. Unless you have anything else that you want to discuss.
No. Thank God we got a 1 point tonight, because we're 1 point ahead of Verona right now.
Yeah, that was pretty nasty. That game was gross. But we got a point. Thank God for that own goal. That guy cleared the ball off the line like twice.
So yeah. Vicari.
Yeah.
I gotta feel bad for him.
I know. Especially because they're in a relegation battle. Like,
yeah,
if that's the goal.
He was so good the entire game.
I know, yeah. Their defense
was rock
solid.
And he does that like the 93rd.
Crazy.
Life is cruel sometimes.
Life is cruel.
Take that as a lesson.
Right now. Yeah,
take that as a lesson, listeners. Life is cruel sometimes.
Listen to Maxi, who just won the Premier League.
Yeah.
Life is cruel.
Yeah.
All right. We never signed ourselves on or off. So,
oh, yeah. Go ahead and,
for those of you who've made it this far.
Yeah. If you made it this far, thank you for listening. My name is Maxi, And you can find me at Twitter at MaxiAngelo with M-A-A-X-I Angelo.
Yeah, you guys can go ahead and follow me on Twitter at Madison_DT. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Twitter if you don't already at SempreMilan.com. Actually, yep. I don't know our Twitter. Okay.
It is.
Okay. I know it's kind of weird, but yeah, you guys can listen.
Hope Ollie doesn't listen this far.
Oh, he's going to listen and he's going to pick us apart. He's like, you don't know our Twitter handle? No, I don't know our Twitter handle.
You're fired. I know it. Yeah. Both of you.
I have my Wednesdays back. All right. That's about it. You guys have a good rest of your evening or day. And
Suso, tira Alessio, Suso, tira. Perché non tiriamo? Ma perché non tiriamo? Gol! Alessio Romagnoli, gol! Alessio Romagnoli!